Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live in the Cheesehead TV social channels. Hope you're having a good Wednesday, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. No news is probably, let's admit it, good news when it comes to a potential defensive coordinator hire. LaFleur and company is still creating a list of guys they want to talk to. We know there have been a few names out there, but the process continues. Probably won't have much information and or a hire to talk about for a bit yet. So I did want to talk about Jeff Hafley heading down to Miami, the new head coach, along with the new general manager and John Eric Sullivan. And I do wonder if there are maybe potentially a guy or two or maybe even three along Matt LaFleur's staff who could potentially end up in Miami with Jeff Hafley. I know Albert Breer wrote this afternoon to keep an eye on Adam Stenovich, which I got to think Matt LaFleur would most likely allow that to happen as far as going down to become Hafley's offensive coordinator, because he would then be given the opportunity to call the plays. Now, I don't think this is an automatic deal. I think certainly Hafley will interview a bunch of folks, just like LaFleur does whenever he's looking for a D coordinator. But I do think the Stenovich thing is very interesting for what it means or would mean in Green Bay. I know Vrabel's been on staff. Jason Vrabel, former wide receivers coach, now a passing game coordinator. He's been with LaFleur and Steno for quite some time now. And I do think there's a decent chance that Vrabel ends up going down to Miami. Now, that's where things would start to get interesting as far as a bit of a brain drain there on the offensive side of the ball. Who knows what they want to do at offensive line with Butkus? I know there's been a lot of discussion publicly from the fans and some of the media about potentially moving on from Butkus, but I don't know if that's a foregone conclusion. And then you flip it over to the defensive side of the ball. Who knows who Hafley may want to take with him? You know, and there, again, might be an opportunity for the defensive coordinator position to, you know, pry someone away from LaFleur's defensive staff as it stands here right now today. I don't want to get too much into the guessing game as far as who it might be and what that might portend as far as the totem pole in Green Bay, simply because he's not working with a whole lot of information here, right? I mean, a lot of this is just guesswork and line drawing and dot connecting, which that's the fun of this time of season. But it is something to ponder here as we watch this play out over the course of the next, what, probably 7 to 10 days. And, you know, the Packers are maybe waiting to request permission to interview Jim Leonard there in Denver, which they can do so regardless of the outcome of Sunday's game. I've seen some kind of back and forth on Twitter questioning that. And yes, once they have played the game on Sunday, whether the Broncos win or lose, LaFleur can reach out and request that permission and probably will be given it. But yeah, it's just the Hafley thing is going to be fascinating to watch play out again, especially on the offensive side of the ball, if that is a route he wants to go. Now, look, maybe he doesn't even end up talking to Steno, which is entirely possible. But like I said, Breer put it out there this afternoon and it got me thinking, you know, there could be a couple of guys. Maybe he tries to take Ben Siermans, the guy who's been in Green Bay since McCarthy was still around. You know, it could potentially be a cascading effect where LaFleur's got to do a lot more hiring on both sides of the ball than maybe some people are expecting. Now, of course, there are plenty of opportunities for him to say no. All these coaches have contracts, and he's not required, especially if they're going and trying to make a lateral move. He's not, you know, required to allow them to go. But LaFleur has talked, and so has Gutekunst, quite a few times about, you know, wanting to engender a environment that allows guys to flourish and have forward momentum and upward mobility when it comes to their coaching careers, you know. So I do think that's going to be maybe not put to the test, but it's certainly going to be a conversation in Green Bay over the course of the next week or so. Something to watch for here as we sit and wait for all the updates on Twitter. I'm just like you guys, just refreshing and trying to see what's going on as far as hirings and firings, not just in Green Bay, but around the league. Hello, everybody in the comments section. Hope you're all doing well. Engine 181. No. I'm proud of you. First comment. Well done, sir. Well done indeed. Before we get going, I got to give a shout out to our friends over at ThetaCare. Here's a brief word from our friends.
expertise follows inspiration. That's why more than a dozen of the nation's top cardiovascular specialists have chosen ThetaCare as their destination to deliver exceptional care. By infusing local care with new expertise throughout ThetaCare, we're creating a healthier future for all. Meet the experts at thetacare.org/heart.
All right, folks, let's get to your comments and questions. What's on your mind today? How are we all doing? Mike Witt starting us off. Thanks, Mike. Nags, everyone talking about Matt, but do you think Goot has gotten a bit of a pass from the fans? I know it's his philosophy, but we don't always have to be the youngest team in the league. This seems to be the topic du jour today, on Twitter at least. I can't say that Gutekunst has gotten a pass when I see people bitching and moaning about Gutekunst every single day of my life online. Now, have there been big columns written about it, or has there been a big television expose about it? Probably not. Not that I've seen, but I don't know where you're living where Gutekunst is getting a pass. Now, maybe his name hasn't been as prominent as of late, simply because so much has been focused on LaFleur's future, especially after the debacle in Chicago. But we'll undoubtedly hear from Gutekunst here in the next couple of days once they finalize that deal. He usually does give an end-of-season press conference, though it is kind of interesting. The closer we get to the combine, the less sense it probably makes to have the end-of-season presser and then turn around and have another availability in Indianapolis. But as soon as Goody talks, and he will talk, I'm sure it will be a topic of conversation. And the thing about the youngest team, and I made the mistake of chiming in about this on Twitter, where there is no nuance or context allowed. I get it, man. They have been the youngest team for 3 years in a row, right? And that is incrementally true. There is very little that separates, hell, even in the kind of top five of the youngest teams, it's barely a year that separates the average ages. It's like fractions of a year that separates them. And, you know, I just pointed out this morning, the third youngest team in the league is hosting the NFC Championship game in Seattle this weekend. You know, and that's no automatic given that they're going to win that game and go and win a championship. But this idea that, oh, all of their problems clearly stem from the idea that they are the youngest team, I think is a bit foolhardy. You know, that's all. I think certainly it's part of a conversation where one of the reasons they are the youngest team in the league consistently over the course of the last three seasons is because of the very well thought out, I think, determination from not only Gutekunst but the entire kind of football operation, that once they traded Aaron Rodgers and basically cut bait on a lot of aging veterans, guys they had kicked the can on contractually for years on end trying to get back to a Super Bowl, they did a hard reset. And we've talked about it here. You know, there's little doubt that they've continued to mine free agency and bring in veteran talent. They made a huge trade for a veteran star in Micah Parsons. Now, the free agent signings this past offseason certainly haven't lived up to the billing and kind of the hopes that you had going into the season. But that doesn't mean they haven't been active in trying to bring in vets. They did two seasons ago with wild success in the additions of Xavier McKinney and Josh Jacobs. So I just don't think it's as cut and dry as they're the youngest team. They make all these mistakes because they're young. They've played a ton of football. They've played a ton of football together. You know, I just look at a team like Seattle, who is also very young, that is very, you know, sound and very rarely makes the same types of mistakes repeatedly. There's a discipline issue in Green Bay, regardless of age. And there's a real kind of impetus for Matt LaFleur to get that under control. And I think this year was probably a little bit worse than it has been in the past. I don't think that's been a major problem in Matt's tenure. But certainly this season, you had, especially early in the year on the offensive side of the ball, you had a lot of pre-snap stuff. You had a lot of false starts. You had a lot of procedural penalties that cost you. And that's all mental stuff, right? That's not getting beat physically. And that's certainly something, again, that I think LaFleur and his staff, whoever that ends up being, are going to have to drill down on this offseason and heading into next year. Little doubt about it. Bryson, how are you, sir? I can't even imagine how toxic the discussions around Matt LaFleur would have been if the Bears had won. I mean, they're going to be toxic regardless in certain sectors of the fan base. You know, there's no doubt that this whole offseason and probably into the season, there are going to be plenty of people waiting for Matt LaFleur to fail. And that does bring me to something I have been thinking about. I talked to about this with a friend of mine yesterday. You know, it's going to be fascinating to watch how people consume Packers games as Packers fans. And if you are sitting there hoping or waiting for Matt LaFleur to fail, well, then are you a Packers fan? Is it more important for you to say, I was right or I told you so, than it is to root for your favorite team, your supposed favorite team? I don't know. As the folks online like to tell me, I'm just asking questions. Joe, what's up? With the number of starters and coaches that could be out the door, is 2026 looking like a transitional year, at least for a while? I don't think any more kind of, more so than any other season, you know? It's certainly not in the dramatic way that it was when they traded Rodgers. I mean, that's a true transitional year, right? I think there's a very real core of guys that are still going to be in the door. Most of the hierarchy on football, you know, whether that's Gutekunst or LaFleur, are still in place. Now, if they had fired LaFleur, maybe let go of Goody, then yeah, that'll probably be, that's a pretty significant transition. But yeah, the comings and goings each offseason, that's just part of the gig. That's part of the league. And certainly you'd like to be able to have a defensive coordinator be a little bit more successful to the point where he sticks around and helps you win a championship. But this day and age, you know, if you have even a little bit of success and you're good on the mic and great in public, you're probably going to get opportunities to get in front of ownership and state your case, which is what happened with Hafley. Corey and I were joking about this a couple of weeks ago. Like, I miss the days where you had to stick around and work it out and help a team win a championship before your name was even in consideration for some of these jobs. But now things happen so quickly. You know, I know we've talked and people online have talked a lot about the idea that, was it in 2022, they had 10 new hire coaches and only two are remaining, you know, around the league. Not for long. That's the NFL now. And as much as it feels like the Packers are probably going to have a lot of kind of moving pieces this offseason, in the grand scheme of the NFL, I don't feel like it's going to be that significant comparatively to what real kind of transition and upheaval looks like in the league, which happens a lot in a lot of other cities. Don Vito, how are you, man? Bisaccia is going to be in Green Bay forever. When the entire fan base agrees on something, it goes the opposite way. Packers law. That is very humorous, but I don't think that's going to be the case. I do think he will most likely retire, but we'll see. You could be right. Maybe he's there. I'm doing Packers Daily from the old folks' home, you know, decades from now, and Bisaccia has become president and CEO, and he reigns supreme with an iron fist. Entirely possible. William James, thanks so much for being a Care of the G Club member. Do you think Banks can bounce back, or was his tape in San Francisco more about playing next to Trent Williams, Randy Packer, Jeff Thomason? Oh, you do Jeff Thomason, you got to do one of these. After that touchdown against, was it week one against the Raiders? And he did so great. Yeah, I think Banks can bounce back. I do think he was dealing with a bunch of injuries this year. And, you know, I've said it many times, he got hurt the first day they put on pads, and yeah, he never really looked right after that. Certainly, I think he can have a much smoother year. As far as his San Francisco tape, you know, he dealt with injury in San Francisco as well, that back half of his last season. But I don't want to sit here and kind of blow smoke and say, oh, yeah, he looked so much better next to Trent Williams, because there were plenty of times in that San Francisco tape where he got beat quickly off the ball in pass pro, just like we saw him get beat off the ball quickly in pass pro in Green Bay. So, yeah, I think he struggles with some of the quickness up front from some of the defensive tackles that are able to get off the ball real quickly, have that quick first step. It's been an issue since he was in San Francisco. And I didn't see much of that change in Green Bay. Now, again, maybe he gets a little healthier and is a little more right, and that helps out, but yeah, I don't think that's going to magically disappear suddenly. Jeezy Baby, what's up? Vikings always get our scraps. We need to vulture one of their own and get Flores. Vikings let good people go. Look at Darnold. LOL. Vikings suck. That's a well thought out super chat. I've said it many times. Flores is my dream. I don't have many dreams come true, so I am not holding my breath. But, man, I'm with you. That said, Durante Jones, who's on his staff, is interviewing. I don't mind the idea of an up-and-coming version of Brian Flores, especially if he brings that style of play. Because, look, LaFleur always talks about play style, right? Way more than he talks about scheme or what he wants schematically. Man, if they bring that play style that we've seen in Minnesota under Flores, give me some of that. That's where I'm at. Mike, thanks again, man. On a side note, I absolutely love watching the replay of Happy Hour on YouTube. Love the discussion. Oh, thanks so much, Mike. I'm glad you're checking it out. And sorry it took so long for it to become a thing where we put a replay up. But, initially when we were doing it, we wanted it to be a kind of haven where people didn't need to worry about the fact that they were being recorded. But, you know, the idea, which I completely understand, of a lot of people who do support us in both on the Patreon side and the Carry the G Club side here on YouTube, who really enjoy being able to support us and are very appreciative. And we get the most incredible messages like pretty much every day. But a lot of them are in very disparate parts of the world, let alone the country, but all over the globe. And they can't make the one kind of sliver of an hour plus each and every week on usually a Tuesday night work in their schedule. At some point, it finally had heard enough people kind of request it that, you know, now we do record it each and every week. And if you are a Carry the G Club member here on YouTube, I encourage you to check it out. And Mike, thank you, because I do think the discussions are great. It is wonderful to hear lots of folks who don't always necessarily agree. You know, it's not like we're all sitting there singing Kumbaya. We have arguments and we have disagreements, but I do think it's a place where people are at least respectful in their disagreement, much more so than, let's say, on Twitter, right? Mike, thanks again. Love the Packers and will always cheer for them. I just will never forget blowing a 21-3 lead at the half to our arch rival. Still not over it. Man, and no one's asking you to. I completely get it. I loved Mark Tauscher's line today. The days of grace are over. You know, I've had a lot of grace with LaFleur, but I am right there with Tausch. Like, hey, man, you still had opportunities to win games after all of the injuries. And certainly those are very real, and they're not, I'm not dismissing that. But that's when you need a coach to be able to rise above it. And I understand policy's view of continuity, and especially when it comes to Jordan Love and the offense and that the ability to continue to grow on that side of the ball, I'm all in on it. But yeah, man, losing to the Bears the way they did when they had total control of that game, that stings, man, and that's going to leave a mark. And that is certainly something that I think Packers fans have every right to hold over LaFleur's head for as long as it takes. And if, what does that mean? Does that mean he has to win a championship to erase that? Maybe. It is up to you, but I'm kind of there. You know, you better win a fucking Super Bowl after that debacle. That is a tough one to come back from. Justin, how are you, sir? Some good news is that it seems like every player to a man believes Matt is the guy and not a problem. Saw Romeo praising him today as well. Saw that too on the Kay Adams gig. And I can I just say, God bless Romeo Doubs, knowing he's on like a show that gets national exposure and just like talking like he's on the phone and there's no video being recorded at all with his phone down below. And he's just like oblivious to the fact that, oh yeah, maybe I should hold my phone up here and show my face rather than like the bottom of my head. And I love Romeo Doubs, man. But yeah, it is somewhat telling. You know, Romeo knows he's out the door. He was asked, Kay asked about it for good reason. You know, he is set to be a free agent. He knows he's most likely not going to be re-signed. He had no reason or no kind of impetus to kind of praise Matt on the way out the door, but he did. And don't forget, Matt's the one who suspended him last offseason, Matt and Gutekunst, in a joint kind of effort. But, you know, I think, I'm sure behind the scenes, there has been a lot of discussion, a lot of work with Romeo. And, you know, like you said, Romeo was pretty pretty filled with praise for LaFleur and for how LaFleur has dealt with the roster, as young as it is, right? I'm a Romeo fan, no doubt, and I hope he gets the bag in free agency. Menace, thank you very much for the super chat. I know I'm in the minority, but I want to see a Rams-esque offseason, F them picks, and make this team for the next 2 to 3 years absolutely as perfect as we can. That window shuts in 28 or 29. It's going to slam shut hard, so let's go. I understand. I completely get that impetus and that kind of momentum on the fan side of things. I'd be very surprised if that's how the Packers ended up operating this offseason. I know we've seen a little kind of evidence and hint of it as far as the way they continued to try to reshape the roster while Rodgers was still in town during that last 2 or 3 years, mostly after coming out of the pandemic and really kicking the can on the salary cap in a way they had never done so before. So I'm not going to sit here and say it's impossible. They would never do it. But yeah, without a once in a lifetime event like the pandemic, I don't know that there's a real sense that the Packers are going to suddenly become that type of team, even with, as you suggest, that window in the next 2 years being very real, mostly due to the Micah Parsons deal, but also Jordan Love's deal. It's kind of similar in the sense of the way it sets up. It really does come to a head in 29, you know. Even with that said, though, I just don't see the Packers becoming a F them picks type club, right? Now, man, Brian Gutekunst has surprised me before, and maybe that is how he will operate this offseason, and I will be shocked to my core, but I will be shocked to my core if that does occur. E4, what's up? Just want a D that makes people forget about the 85 Bears and an offense that will go down as the best ever. Should be easy. You know, as long as you have realistic goals and expectations, I find that that's really the best way to go about it. And it feels like that's what you're doing. So well done. Menace, yes, the Rams did get a Super Bowl out of it. No question about it. The Packers have had a couple of Super Bowls out of how they operate. You know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers sucked for a decade and then won another Super Bowl. The Packers were good for a decade between their two Super Bowls. There's lots of different ways to go about it. I have no issues with how the Packers operate. Simitovich, Terrence Parsons wants Leonard. Consider it done. I've seen a lot of, you know, Cowboys fans talking about Jim Leonard. And I know Terrence now has somewhat of a split allegiance, but man, I love the idea of Jim Leonard. I don't know if, you know, he comes in and dominates with Green Bay, but he was a really good player. I think he's a good coach, and I know it would be hilarious just to have the live version of Packer transplants when when Corey Banky finds out that that's the hire. I can't wait. All right, everybody, I got to get going. Cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.